Evan Houston, we're really amazed at the quality of the picture up in the tunnel. It's really superb, over.
That is considering the amount of light up in there.
Roger, we're about to open the hatch now.
Right.
Buzz Aldrin reporting that he's halfway into the LEM. This view is inside the LEM cabin.
Hey, that's a great shot right there. We see you in there. Guess that's Neil and Mike. Better be, anyway. We see you waving.
Aldrin has apparently carried the camera into the LEM with him, showing as Neil Armstrong and Mike Collins back in the CSM.
Hello, Apollo 11 Houston. We're standing by to watch your start up on the PTC at any time. You can start off at the Verb 49. Over.
Hi, Wilco. We're just finishing up the probe and about to close up the hatch here. We're going to be a couple minutes late, probably getting started in the PTC.
Watch, no sweat, 11. We're standing by. Over.
This is Apollo Control. That was Neil Armstrong reporting that they are now reinstalling the probe in drogue, which is just about on the flight plan schedule. And they reported that they would be putting the spacecraft in a slow roll shortly to maintain passive thermal control. In that mode, the spacecraft rotates at a rate of about 3 revolutions per hour to maintain even heating. We have a precise time on that sphere of influence change, the point at which the moon, for calculation purposes here in mission control, comes under the predominant influence, the spacecraft comes under the predominant influence of the moon's gravitational field. And we now calculate that that event will occur at 61 hours, 39 minutes, 55 seconds ground elapsed time.
Hello, Apollo 11 Houston. Mike, there's no wait required. Where rates are steady, you can proceed on. Over.
I'm doing that, Charlie.
Roger.
The tunnel's all secure. The drogue probe and hatch all back in.
Roger, copy out. Hello, Apollo 11 Houston. We have some new additions to your alternate and contingency checklist, if you would break that out. Over.
Stand by. Okay, Houston, 11's ready to copy.
Roger. 11, if you'll turn to page F/2-22, over.
Okay, I have F/2-22.
Roger, Neil. Under column L, that's column Lima, line 06, the new data is 00001. Line 07, the new data is 02134. Over.
Okay, I have been F/2-22, column Lima, item 6, 00001, item 7, 02134.
Roger, that's correct. Thank you much, Al. Evan Houston, for your information, those two entries are an update to your Delta H that we have already uplinked into the CMC. Over.
All right, Roger. Thank you.
is our margin on, Charlie? About an 18-kilometer line or what?
Our update puts you to the delta H to 35 kilometers, Mike, over.
Okay.
Hello, Apollo 11, Houston. We got some switch positions for you for the high gain, over.
Okay, go ahead.
Roger, Buzz. Select Bravo, Omni, high gain track to manual. Beam wide, over.
Okay, Bravo, Omni, track manual, and beam wide.
Roger, and your high gain angles are minus 50 on the pitch, 270 on the yaw. Over.
Okay, going there now.
Hello, Apollo 11, Houston. We have some updates and some things we'd like to talk to you about if you aren't in the middle of your meal. If it's convenient, any time for you, we're ready with some updates, over.
What are the updates going to apply to?
Roger, we have a couple of changes on the limb mission rules, no go for your no go card, Neil. One slight change on the aft dip fuel and temp pressure card. And we have a change to the procedure for the secondary radiator leak check, which is to be performed at 71 hours tomorrow. And also some indications that we have a couple of landing site obliques stowed in the wrong place, over.
Okay, if any of those in the flight plan, the secondary radiator, for example?
That's affirmative. The secondary radiator leak check is called out in the flight plan at 7120. That procedure is listed in your launch operations book on page 2-9, L2-9. We'd like to change that procedure, over.
Okay, stand by.
Charlie, on the secondary leak check, just read it verbatim like you want and I'll copy it directly into the flight plan and not fool around with the checklist.
Roger, that's fine. If you're ready to copy, stand by.
Ready to copy on the leak check.
Roger. It's monitor secondary accumulator quantity. Step two is secondary glycol to radiator valve. Normal for 30 seconds, then bypass. If no decrease in secondary accumulator quantity, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, if no decrease in secondary accumulator quantity, secondary glycol to radiator valve to normal. Next step, secondary coolant loop pump, AC1 or AC2. After 3 minutes, verify glycol discharge secondary pressure 39 to 51 PSIG. Also verify secondary evap out temp has changed. Next step, secondary coolant loop pump off. Secondary glycol to radiator valve bypass. That ends the procedure, over.
Okay, read back. Monitor secondary accumulator quantity. Secondary glycol radiator valve normal for 30 seconds, then the bypass. If no decrease in secondary accumulator quantity, secondary glycol to radiator valve to normal. Secondary coolant loop pump, AC 1 or 2. After 3 minutes, verify glycol secondary discharge pressure, 39 to 51 PSIG. Verify secondary evaporator outlet temp has changed. Secondary coolant loop pump off. Secondary glycol radiator valve to bypass. And what's the reason for the change, Johnny?
Roger. Span is concerned that our present procedure shown in the checklist does not really flow a glycol through the radiator, and they want to verify that we do not have a plugged secondary radiator, over.
Okay, do they have any abnormal indications in that system so far?
Negative. This is a procedure that came up with. It's just a check, Mike. Everything's looking great to us, over.
Okay, fine. Get back with you on these other changes in a few minutes.
Okay. Roger, Neil. No hurry. Over.
This is Apollo Control at 59 hours, 9 minutes. Apollo 11 now 182,000 nautical miles from Earth, and the velocity down to 3,072 feet per second. We've had very little conversation from the spacecraft in the past 40 minutes or so. At this time, the flight plan calls for the crew to be getting ready to begin their eat period. That would be followed by a 9-hour rest period. We have one change to the flight plan to pass along. The television transmission, which had been scheduled at 100 hours 20 minutes to 100 hours 50 minutes in the flight plan, has been deleted. This transmission was to have occurred during the formation flying prior to the powered descent to the lunar surface. The decision to delete the TV transmission from the flight plan was made due to a lack of available satellite channels to relay the signal from the tracking site at Madrid to Houston for conversion. The The intermittent music that we're getting is apparently coming from the spacecraft. The crew has on board portable tape recorders with music on the tapes, and as they store their own comments on the tape, the music is, of course, erased. Apparently, the music is triggering the Vox-operated microphones, and we're getting intermittent music down from the spacecraft.
Eleven Houston, we're wondering who's on horns.
Checking Houston.
We just had a little music there. Right, that was good. You can keep it coming down, 11.
Okay. Because it's a special occasion today, Houston, this is the third anniversary of Gemini 10.
Roger. Happy anniversary.
Thank you, sir.
This is Apollo Control. That comment a moment ago about the 10th anniversary of, or about the 3rd anniversary of Gemini 10 came from Mike Collins, who, along with John Young, flew the Gemini 10 mission July 18 through July 21, 1966. The brief bit of music that we got from the spacecraft was coming to us from a distance of 182,000 190 nautical miles.
Houston, Apollo 11, ready to copy your update.
Roger, stand by. Okay, Buzz, the first item is that we have indications that your landing site obliques are not in the proper position. If you will check, we think that the intermediate scale landing site oblique is stowed in the CSM Lunar Landmark book. We think that the large scale landing site oblique is stowed in the back of the LEM Lunar Surface Map book. Over.
I think I heard you, Charlie, but I'm not sure that I understand that.
Roger, according to our storage list, the landing site oblique should be in the transfer bag. In the backup set of data, the intermediate scale oblique is in the CSM Lunar Landmark book, and the large scale oblique is in the back of the LEM Lunar Surface Map book, and that's the reason we think they might be not where you think they are. Over.
Okay, we've got three obliques, and the last one is one I asked for recently. It's just a blow-up of the second one. The first one is one that's got dotted lines on it indicating horizon view and 50-degree LPD. And all three of those are in the transfer book. Over.
Well, Roger, fine. We were wrong in our backup set. We had those out of place. It looks like the onboard data is good. We just wanted to let you check on that one. We have an update on the APS DIPS fuel card that you place on the panel. It's a typo error. If you'll break out that little card, we got to correct that typo error. Over.
Am I? Okay, I got it.
Roger, Buzz. Under the dips column on the pressure side, you go down to the fourth item. It says pressure greater than 150 PTCA should be greater than 65%. Over.
Okay, it's greater than 120 for less than 65 and greater than 150 for greater than 65.
That's affirmative, Al. And we have three items on the mission rules no-go card, if you're ready to copy those. Over.
Okay, I've got the emission rules, no goes.
Roger, Buzz. At first entry is under EPS. Under AC bus A, the line extends all the way to high gate. Actually, the line should read, at DOI, it would be no go AC bus A. After that, the no go would be both buses. So if you'll just pencil in both buses from PDI through high gate, it'll be correct for that line. Over.
Okay, I've got that AC bus A for DOI and most buses no go for PDI on.
That's affirmative up until Highgate, and you can stop at the line. It's under the column 5 minutes to low gate. Now the next line is under the G and C Kings pitch and roll GDAs. You can scratch that line completely, over.
Roger, got it.
Okay, Buzz, last entry is down under RCS, and it's a typo error under the three, in the line three-axis attitude control. You proceed to the right at PDI plus five, you'll see one axis, and the line goes all the way to low gate to touchdown. That's incorrect. The line should stop under 5 minutes to low gate. Over.
Okay, we're stopping that at 5 minutes to locate.
That's firm. That completes that card. The rest of the updates are just really for your information. Based on our 58-hour platform, look at the platform, we're in really good shape. Your gyros have almost no drift in them. Since prior to the update, we were looking at X of a minus 2.24, Meru, Y of point, a plus point 0.87, Z of minus 0.11. Since the update, which was based on the 52-hour P52, I believe, we gave you an X drift of plus 0.79, Yaw of plus 1.06, Z of plus 0.02 Meru. The 52-hour and the 57-hour alignments did not really give us enough time to get a real good or completely valid update on the drift check. So we're real satisfied with the way the gyros are looking. The PIPAs are looking great also. We're in real good shape with those two. Over.
7 radio check.
Roger, reading you flyby, how many over?
Okay, loud and clear. You cut out when you were talking about the platform at something about 52 hours. After that, we never heard you again.
Roger, I guess we were changing antennas. Stand by. That's affirmative, 11. We were swapping antennas on you down here. Basically, the word is we got a real good platform. Very small drift in the gyros and very small drift in the pipas, over.
Roger, thank you. And I'd like to have a few words of clarification, if you'll give them to me, on the RCS rule, what that change essentially means.
Copy, a few words of clarification on the RCS. Roger. The update there, Neil, you're speaking of about the one axis down to 5 minutes to low gate?
Yeah, that's right. I'm not quite sure what that rule means beyond 5 minutes.
Stand by. I'll make sure I got my story straight with control. Stand by.
Okay.
Houston, on the RCS, what we're saying is that if we lose control about one axis prior to low gate, we would recommend an abort. This would require a loss of two distinct jets, which is not very probable, but that's what we're recommending. After low gate, we would continue on. We would recommend that we continue on to attempt a landing, over.
Roger. I think I
Roger.
Charlie, did you say you had some updates for us in the lunar surface
list? Apollo 11, say again, you were cut out, over.
Roger, did you say you had some updates for us in the lunar surface book, over?
Negative. At this time, we do not have any updates for the lunar surface book. We wanted you to have it just in case, over.
Roger, you were cut out that time.
Roger, at the present time, we do not have any updates for you on the lunar surface book. We are thinking about some and kicking them around, but they're very minor changes, over. Eleven, Houston, did you copy that transmission? Apollo 11, Houston, we swapped antennas on you again. I say again that we do not have any lunar surface update, book updates at this time. We're considering a few minor ones but we're still kicking Miranda Moker, over.
Bravo 1100.
Houston 11, we have a crew status report for you.
Roger, go ahead, 11.
Okay, radiation, CDR 11009, CMP 10010, LMP 09011, no medication.
Roger, 11, we copy for the radiations, and we're considering, this PTC looks sort of weird to us, so we're considering stopping and starting over again. We'll be with you in a couple of minutes, over. Apollo 11, Houston, would you give us a LEM CM Delta T reading, over? Houston, we switched the antennas on you again. Would you please give us a LEM CM Delta P reading, over? Hello, Apollo 11, Houston, over.
Go ahead, 11 here.
Roger, we switched antennas on you there a moment ago, Neil. Would you please give us a LEM CM Delta P reading, over?
It's less than 0.1.
Roger.
Neil says, Charlie.
Roger, thank you, Mike. Could you give us some help? This PTC is strange. It's not like anything we've seen before, and we're wondering if y'all have had any events or any idea that could help us out, over.
Well,
I didn't understand that. Say again?
Roger, we're looking at a sort of a funny-looking PTC. We've already drifted out to 70 degrees in pitch, and we're wondering if you all have had any events or any such thing as that that could cause us to pick up these rates to drive us off. Over.
Negative, Charlie. We don't know of anything.
Roger.
If it's got something to do with that entry from a stop from the position that we want to be in, I don't know.
Roger, when we started off, it looked real fine to us. Now it's drifting off in a funny pattern that we haven't seen previously on a flight. We're just trying to figure out. I think we'll probably start it over again. We'll be with you momentarily. Over.
Okay.
Apollo 11, Houston, we hate to say it, but we'd like to terminate this PTC and start over again. We have no assurance that we're going to get it through the sleep period with this funny configuration or funny pattern. We'd like you to stop it now and then go back to pitch 090, yaw 0, and roll whatever you stop on. Over.
Roger.
This is Apollo Control at 59 hours, 57 minutes. A few moments ago, you heard Capcom Charlie Duke advise the crew to terminate the passive thermal control mode that they are presently in and reestablish the 3 revolution per hour roll rate about the spacecraft longitudinal axis that is used for thermal control. We had noticed a unexplained deviation from the attitude that the spacecraft was set up in this roll mode. Ideally, it would roll about the longitudinal axis with very little wobble. And if a wobble is introduced for one reason or another, the reaction control system jets would come on as soon as the motion out of the prescribed plane had occurred, had gone beyond prescribed limits, in this case 30 degrees, to correct. The jet firing is on past missions do tend to disturb the crew's sleep. Rather than have the reaction control system jets come on during the night and perhaps have to awaken the crew to reestablish the passive thermal control mode at that time, we elected to correct it now.
Men, you disable Bravo and Charlie. Select Quad Alpha and Delta. Over. Houston, over.
This is Apollo Control. We're getting quite a bit of noise on the air-to-ground circuit at this time as the spacecraft rotates from one Omni antenna around to the next, and we momentarily lose lock-on. At this time, Apollo 11 is 183,544 nautical miles from Earth. The velocity holding fairly constant now at about 3,042 feet per second. It's been moving down toward 3,000 feet per second and seems to be leveling off somewhat. This is Apollo Control. We're going to take the air-to-ground circuit down temporarily until a stronger antenna lock is here's a call to the crew. We'll stand by for that. This is Apollo Control. We will take the air-to-ground circuit down at this time until we have reestablished sufficient signal strength to eliminate the noise on the circuit. This is Apollo Control at 60 hours, 10 minutes. We've reestablished good antenna lock on at this time, and we'll continue to monitor for any conversation from the spacecraft. The crew is presently reestablishing the passive thermal control rotation rate of 3 revolutions per hour. Following that, we expect they will begin their rest period. At the present time, Apollo 11 is 183,821 nautical miles from Earth, and the velocity 3,037 feet per second.
Hello, Apollo 11. Hello, Apollo 11. Over. Roger. Reading you about one by. Looks like we picked a super attitude here for PTC stabilization. We're reading you in a backup voice now, over.
Can we read you loud?
Clear. Roger.
Would you like
I think we've got about the best configuration. We've been doing it all from the ground here, 11. We'll just keep it as it is, over.
Roger.
Apollo 11, Houston, would you select Command Reset and Omni Alpha, over. Roger, we read you about 3 by now, over.
Roger.
Apollo 11, Houston, we is stable. You can start the PTC, over.
Well, that's right.
Houston, Apollo 11, on checklist page F9-7, I've completed step 8, and I'd like to know what you think is ideal timing between step 8 and step 9 and step 10 on that page, over.
Roger, stand by. Apollo 11, Houston, we don't see any time constraints. We'd like you to go ahead and set up the wide dead band, then go through step 10 and 11, over.
Okay, will do. I don't see any constraints either, Charlie. I just was checking to make sure, because last time I went from 8 to 9 to 10 to 11 a little bit more swiftly than I'd been doing in the past.
Roger. Roger, we copy. Apollo 11, Houston, would you please select Omni Bravo, over.
Roger, Bravo. Bravo.
Roger, reading you 5-I.
Same
here. Apollo 11, Houston, it looks like we got a good PTC going. It's good night from the white team, over.
Okay, see you tomorrow. Thank you for everything.
This is Apollo Control at 60 hours, 37 minutes. We said goodbye or good night to the crew about 10 minutes ago. We expect that they will be settling down for their rest period shortly. At the present time, Apollo 11 is 184,600 nautical miles from Earth. The spacecraft velocity is presently 3,023 feet per second. I understand there's been some interest in a comment made by Neil Armstrong during the television transmission about the EVA floodlight. Armstrong's remark was that the mast, which the light is mounted on, appeared charred. He reported that the light works, but had apparently the mast that supported it had apparently been damaged during the launch phase. This light would be used in the event of a contingency EVA. It would have no function in a normal mission, such as we're presently flying. And in the event that an extravehicular activity was necessary for transfer of the crew from the LEM to the command and service module, the light would be an aid in providing exterior lighting of the handrails, but would repeat that it would have no function in a normal mission. And the charring, which Armstrong reported, is not considered significant at this time. We don't expect to have any further conversation with the crew. We will continue to record any remarks that we get and play those back. The passive thermal control mode, which was reestablished, appears to be functioning well at this time, and all spacecraft systems are functioning normally. At 100, or rather at 60 hours, 39 minutes, this is Apollo Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control at 60 hours, 47 minutes. We just got a call from the spacecraft requesting that we give them the position of the S-4B in respect to the spacecraft. And we're currently coming up with that bit of information, so we'll stand by.
Apollo 11, Houston, the S-4B is about 6,000 nautical miles from you now, over.
Okay, thank you.
Houston, Apollo 11, how's the PTC looking?
Stand by. Houston, the PTC looks great to us, over.
Do you have any idea what happened to the previous one?
We have absolutely no idea, over.
Okay. Did it look like it was all right and then just all of a sudden start diverging?
That's negative. If you look at the plot, which we'll say for you, and let you see it post-flight, It started off immediately on the first rev and just spiraled out to about 20 degrees in pitch, and then it seemed to be setting up a spiral around an offset pitch point of about 20 degrees off from 90 degrees, but we didn't want to take a chance that it would become stable at that point. We thought it might diverge, so we called you and started over again. Over.
Okay, no complaints. I was just curious as to what had happened.